being unabashedly ready and comfortable and like excited in your sexuality for me is a lot about womanhood, female bonding, sisterhood. Like the vibes that I get when I'm talking so openly is usually connecting with women.
Welcome to The Depth Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Miller. Here we are going to be diving deep into the layers of the human experience, talking about what it looks like to live in pleasure and play, while also dipping into what it feels like to swim in the darker, more shadowy sides of life. I'm an embodiment and sacred sexuality mentor, guiding hearts into more pleasure and intimacy in their everyday life. I'm a lover, a connector, and an intuitive who is here to simply pour more love into this planet. Come play with me and let's go deep. Welcome to season 3 of Depth. I am so grateful that you are here. So grateful that you've allowed me to take a second, take a pause, have a little summer break, but we are back better than ever and launching strong with season 3 here. This first episode is near and dear to my heart as it is with one of my absolute favorite people ever. And it is my sister, Melissa Miller. Now, Melissa is super special. She is my confidant in all things in life. She is my biggest cheerleader. She is the one who is my first call, my last call. She is the absolute backbone to me as a human. And there are so many things that happen in our private conversations that I'm like, man, I wish that she could have a microphone and more people could hear from her. She has just a fresh take on life. She has such a generous, open heart. She lives so unapologetically as who she is. And she takes up space without feeling like she needs to apologize for it or be a different way. And she truly shows up as exactly who she is in every environment. And it's something I just so deeply admire in her. She's also a incredibly open and sexually liberated person. And I attribute a lot of my openness in my ability to feel safe and able to work in this space to my friendship and my relationship that I have with my sister and all that she's been able to show and lead me through in my upbringing and through our friendship. So I'm so excited for her to chat with us here today. I do want to give this disclaimer that this is going to be a more X-rated podcast than my other ones. Melissa and I get very candid, chat very openly about different things within the space of sex. And yeah, so I would pop this one in your earbuds and avoid listening to this one with anyone around that is more sensitive. Little ears. Old ears, whatever it may be, just be mindful of that. So without further ado, thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in to yet another season of Depth. And let's jump into this amazing conversation with my sister, Melissa. Okay, just first off, I would like to say that I don't know if this happens to you, but when you eat walnuts, does your mouth get really watery? Like,
I don't think that I've eaten
like chalky. Enough.
Walnuts on their own. Like, I feel like walnuts is something that I have just crusted.
Okay. They have like that chalky like fiber on the outside and I was just eating some. So now I feel like every time I do, I feel like my mouth like waters in a weird way. So anyway, I hope this is fine for the recording.
Do you eat a lot of walnuts? Like just YOLO?
It's actually been like a fave snack lately. Yeah. With
it's
chocolate chips.
It's such a bold snack choice. Like, who's like buying walnuts?
And one or two chocolate chips. It's like a really good combo.
That's wild. That's wild. I didn't know this about you.
It's new. Cold, so anyway.
Cold oranges and walnuts.
Reporting live. Me.
Reporting live from Walnut Town.
Yeah. Okay, well, today I have my favorite person in the world, my sister, Melissa, here with us to chat about, we're not sure yet. We're going to get into it and we're going to find out how the wind blows. She is reporting live from France, from Dijon, France. And I'm grateful that you're here, Melissa. So say hi to the friends on the other end.
Hi, friends. So excited to be here, Junie. We've been waiting so long to do this.
I know, it feels, it's been like, hard
with the time difference.
Yeah, Melissa's right now completing her MBA in, well, I guess you can say what you're doing, because that's probably nice for you to share.
Yeah, but how fun is it for someone else to give you an intro, you know?
Okay, yeah, yeah. True that. So Melissa is completing her MBA at the School of Burgundy. Is that how it was called?
Burgundy School of Business, yeah.
Burgundy School of Business. And it has some type of specialty in wine and spirits. So she's been over living her best life, drinking, eating cheese, traveling the globe, and learning more about wine, which is truly her heart's passion, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point here in the conversation. But it has been very hard because we are besties and it's been a long distance friendship for the last year and a half, which is sad. But anyway, we found this time to record a podcast. I'm excited because Tom's episode with me is my number two best podcast ever. So now you two are in competition for who can take the, if it's going to stay Tom's or if you're gonna, yours is going to move up the ranks. I don't know.
Imagine, yeah. Imagine I blow Tom out of the water.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom, it's coming. I'm coming for you.
We were joking around. Ready. When the concept of us recording a podcast together, Melissa and I, we were joking because my parents had been playing Tom's episode like on the speakers for enforcing people to listen to it. And I don't know if Melissa's episode's going to be the same way. So I'm going to, first of all, put this disclaimer out because I know it needs it, that this is a not suitable for work episode and also not suitable for children. So this is the one where you want to pop your earbuds in and go for a walk or listen when you're on your drive alone, but probably avoid this one with the children in the vehicle with you. Is that fair to say?
Did Tom not also get that disclaimer?
I definitely did put it as explicit on the back end on Apple Podcasts and on Anchor. Yeah, but I basically all my episodes are, and I think people should really know that, talking about sex and sexuality, but I mean, sometimes... Right. We just need those reminders as humans.
Right, right. I always wonder that when people are listening to podcasts, like when you get the disclaimer at the beginning and it's like, there's profanity. And I'm like, I don't even think of that with not having kids. Like, I don't even think about how you would actually have to adjust your whole life.
Yeah, you're listening.
Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Beyonce's album yesterday did have a clean version though. So I noticed that. Nice. So I was thinking, I guess that's probably nice if people don't want to hear swear words, but.
So like on Spotify, you could click into two different versions of it?
There's two different versions, which I think there is for most things.
Did she put it on Spotify or just Tidal?
No, it's on, and she, like, Tidal, no one uses Tidal anymore, so.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Still, Beyonce's mom does, but no one else.
Of course. That would be Shark too. Our mom, Shark.
It's like everyone listening to your podcast, our parents playing it on the loudspeakers for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah, let's get into it. So what I do want to acknowledge about you, and I think this is a fun thing to bring into the podcast space, but I feel like a lot of what I've learned in this space of sexuality and embodiment, and what I mean when I say embodiment is the way in which you walk the walk and talk the talk of the things that you believe to be true in the world, or the way that you choose to show up. And the way that you want to be in the world, I feel like I've learned a lot from you. And you are the best big sister in the way that you really do lead by example in so many aspects. But I think for what I cherish so much about what you've taught me and how I watch you show up is that you're just so yourself and so unapologetically like, hey, this is Melly, and like, love me or leave me, but I'm doing me. And I feel like that is not an easy thing to cultivate. And I feel like that's been sort of my lesson in the last few years, is really learning to like blaze my own trail and like stand confidently in that. But I would love for you to share, if you have any thoughts on that, of like how you got to that place. Like, how did you get to a place where you were like, it's okay for me to talk about anally pegging a coworker
at a family brunch,
yeah, or just saying like what you do desire and being so confident and clear in it, because yeah, it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I think first of all, that's a really nice compliment, because I feel like I've learned a lot of how I am from you. So I feel like it's this reciprocal sister bonding in that. And that, I mean, you can have sisterhood with people who aren't your sisters, but luckily for us, we're blood related. Mm-hmm. And that female support group that makes you feel so comfortable to be yourself, which I think I get mine from you. So it's a cool way to see that you get it from me. But second, I would also like to disclaim that I actually have not pegged a coworker.
Sorry, just
asterisk. At least not yet.
Okay.
But who knows what the future holds? I'm about to get a new job. Okay. Any number of things could happen. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where that example came from, yeah, but it was top of mind for some reason.
Came up. I love the idea of anyone I've worked with like listening back to this and being like,
"Who did she peg? That,
who was she pegging? Was it Ken? Steve?" But no, I think probably the confidence for me, it comes from just, I think, realizing actually a lot of it, which is maybe not the most fun answer. I'm very aware that we're gonna die. Yeah. In my head always, like, it comes back to me all the time. I'm literally like, we're here for such a short time. Mm-hmm. And so every day I kind of gear myself around like gratitude for the things that make me happy. And then the fact that we're here for this short period of time, and really life is meant to be like enjoyed, like to be talked about fully, like all elements of pleasure, mm-hmm. like food, sleeping, enjoying new adventures, good conversation with friends, taking long walks, like sex and sensuality, all of it are these fun, cool pieces that we get while we're in this mortal body, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have heard you say that before, and I sometimes forget that you think that way. And I don't know if that's due to all the crime podcasts that you were listening to at one point in time.
That small phase.
Do you think it predates a lifestyle that, or?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. I think it comes, honestly, probably comes from, I don't actually know when it started.
Okay.
I don't know when it started.
As long as you can remember.
I remember learning about like nihilism and things when I was studying philosophy.
Wait, what's that?
And nihilism is the idea that nothing matters because we're all dying.
Yeah.
Essentially, to be reductive.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of like philosophical concept that really nothing matters. And something about that clicked for me. But I don't know if that's when it started or if I had kind of already like thought that way before. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is also kind of like things are coming together in my head as I'm talking about this out loud. So
I think that's the cool thing about podcasting is it does kind of like make you
reflect.
Maybe we wouldn't talk about just sitting down and chit-chatting. But we do have deep conversations, but I think probably in a less interviewee type of way.
Sometimes you interview me. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So how do you feel about that?
This.
The other thing you said too is I do agree. I think for me with anxiety, it's really hard to think about things in terms of like the mortality. Like I do get that point. And I think other things just like clog up my pathway to seeing that and like living in the moment and experiencing things in pleasure and bliss. Like, I think I actively have to like choose that and keep choosing that over and over again. Whereas, do you feel like that's the experience for you? Like, you have to choose to think that way? Or do you feel like that's become more of like an automatic or a way in which you live your life?
It's an automatic. Like, my vibe is to choose. And sometimes it's not always positive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that sometimes it ends up being on the reckless side.
Yeah.
I don't often get that way. They're probably in less and less as I age and mature.
Mm-hmm. Mature.
But that attitude goes towards can also be like, well, I mean, let's try it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's try new things or be more bold or just be more unapologetically what you feel like showing up as that day, because that's kind of, it just feels right. It feels fun and exciting.
Yeah. You want to pack everything in that you want
to experience.
Experience. And I think the cool thing is you touched on this, but like a piece of that is the sensuality of life and the pleasures, like the indulgent aspect. Like, you're someone who you live a very opulent, in your experiences, type of lifestyle. Like, you're the one to go for the higher end experience because of the food or because of the
scenery or like a new experience or new something, like whatever the, whatever my choices are, I'll always go more boldly. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always mean money wise too, but.
Yeah. Opulent and more of a rich in terms of all senses, not just monetarily. But like for pleasure for you is, I think, at the forefront of your mind. Would you agree with that?
Always. Yeah. And actually at first it comes from food and wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my pleasure on a day-to-day basis, I wake up hungry. I wake up excited to eat.
Yeah.
It like makes me so, it makes me so horny to be like, what are we having for breakfast?
Yeah.
What kind of avocado egg hot sauce mixture can I get my day started with?
Yeah.
And like, if I don't eat, I'm grumpy. Lunch is a thing. You got to, something about being in France that's so nice is pausing for lunch.
Mm.
Like 2 hours for lunch, and you're supposed to really like eat and eat something nice and like sit and chat and actually take a break. And like, we should all be doing that. What, why are we not eating for 2 hours? Why are we doing 20 minutes in North America? You know?
I know. Yeah. A hot lunch too. Not just like a cold quarter of a Sammy.
Tuna Sam. Although a tuna Sam can slap.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes. backtracking a little back to what you said about waking up and thinking about food is, I guess it's kind of how you've always been, right?
Always, yeah.
You've always thought sort of in pleasure and in riches, and
I think that's kind of also how like our family vibe is too a lot though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it comes from just like we've always had excitement around like different parts of life. Mm-hmm. Like food or like family outings and stuff. And like that, I think I kind of took away from, which I mean, obviously our experiences can be different, but.
Yeah. I think what's really cool about you is, and you see this through watching you cook, but your expression and your ability to tune into your senses and create something out of maybe even just like three ingredients in the fridge. Like Melissa and I lived together after she got back from France the first time, and we lived in this apartment together, and I was a student at the time and she was just coming back into the workforce, and sometimes we would just have like the simplest, randomest ingredients in the fridge, and Melissa would create something out of, you know, like green onion, rice, and a can of black beans
or something. Yeah. It was always beans.
Delicious. Yeah. And beautiful. And I was kind of like, how does your brain work that way to create something out of what most people would see as we have no food or there's nothing here?
Yeah, so true. I think not to make this a compliment circle, I feel like you do that with the rest of like with your professional life too, though, you know, like you make a lot of stuff happen for yourself creatively and in your own life, whereas I do it when I'm cooking. But your mind works like that. Like, what do I have here? Like, I have my creative in like my artist side, my makeup side, my speaker side, my healer side. And how do I like put all those together to do a job that makes me feel meaningful, you know?
So we both can be scrappy and make beautiful
things. We're scrappy. Making in the name of enjoying life.
Yeah. So in terms of sensuality, I know you and I were talking the other day about if we can pivot down the rabbit hole of sensuality and sexuality as well. Well, first of all, let's talk about your sexuality for a second, because I do think that you are boldly and beautifully embodied in what you feel is sexy. And I feel like you're someone who can really tap into the, like, the archetype of, like, fiery female.
She's here, baby.
Slut embodying. Like, yes, let's give it to me. Give life to me. When we were together last year with your girlfriends for the weekend for your 30th birthday. Birthday?
What did My I birthday?
Say? Your birthday?
My birthday?
I really saw... I really appreciated you through the lens of your friendships, because I think your friendships and the people that you've called into your life and in your inner circle, I mean, you're forced to be with me. So, and I love our relationship.
But we've also chosen that too after years. Like at this point, we don't have to call each other every 2 minutes. Junie, what are you doing?
Yeah, we did choose to sleep in bunk beds till I was 17. 14 and you were 16. Sharing a bedroom. But yeah, seeing you through your friend's eyes and the one story that one of your girlfriends was saying, how you met during your orientation week in university and you became friends because you chose to say from the back of the bus. Can you share that little line?
It was so cute because it's my favorite memory. We were on a bus to Frosh Week and they were, it was like one of those like get to know you things. And they said something like, say, I don't remember what the adjective was, but it was like, say something fun or say something silly or say something about yourself kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'd like, just like, and then I don't know why I stood up and I was like, I love to get fucked from behind. Woo, Frosh Week. And now my best friend, she was like, that is my girl. And she during the football game was like, there was this girl on the bus and I have to find her. And she was talking about getting fucked from behind. And I was like, that's me. We can be friends. And from that moment, it was like a serendipitous thing, which I also think the being unabashedly ready and comfortable and like excited in your sexuality for me is a lot about womanhood, female bonding, sisterhood. Like the vibes that I get when I'm talking so openly is usually connecting with women. Mm-hmm. Men don't understand this.
Yeah.
Men don't understand how to like talk about coming 8 times at a brunch or like mm-hmm. what it means to like really live in pleasure, especially hetero dudes. I mean, more to be speaking. Speaking generally about men, not that this is we're men focused here. We're not men shaming, but generally.
Cishet.
The sharing of sensuality really is about like coming together as women to me, because it's this like shared experience of the excitement that you also get because you know other people have the same capacity. Like when I hear women talking about how they're like not connected to their bodies or they're not aware of like what pleasure means to them or how to share pleasure with other people or how to like cultivate intimacy or like connection with others. That to me is like a huge moment always of bonding because I'm like, listen, like this is my journey. This is what I've been through, not in a preachy way. Cause obviously you can't force people to go back and want to do anything. Right. But
yeah,
it's such a way to bond with women. And that's what I found. Like all my best friendships, all my best relationships are always around like how we've shared our experience of women experiencing pleasure and like what that means in the world.
Mm-hmm. I love that perspective. And I do think it takes one, confidence, and two, vulnerability to be able to step into those spaces and to have those conversations, but also to initiate them. And I think you're excellent at initiating those things and sharing, like to be the first one to be like, you know, say like you did on the bus or say something similar or in a group of girlfriends who are just talking about their jobs, like you bringing up an aspect that isn't so comfortable or isn't maybe like what people would stay within like the confines of what's comfortable to talk about maybe. Mm-hmm. So for you, where does that come from? Like how do you get the confidence just to say, I love to get railed from behind?
It just comes out of me. I think a lot of it was us, like me and you specifically, when we were teens and kids, like learning about sex, being so excited about it. Like, I don't know why when we were like 13 years, like it made me so excited to get puberty books from the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cute.
And like YouTube wasn't a thing, but we would stay up late and like watch literally late night shows on sex toys. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that curiosity came from. I was born so horny.
Yeah.
And luckily, like we shared that and got to like learn through it together. But yeah. I don't know where it got cultivated or like how it ended up being different. And honestly, I am always surprised when other people aren't like this. Mm-hmm. I was saying the other day to some girls who I've met here, like my new friends, I was like, you know, like when you're coming 5 times before bed or something. And the girls looked at me and they were like, no, that's not a thing. And I was like, why? Like, I'm like wild, mind blown. People have the ability to come 5 times before you fall asleep and you're going to bed normal? Raw dog? Like, I don't know where it comes from. It's it just is there. I feel like also once you open that rabbit hole, like how do you go back, you know?
True.
And also maybe having the safe spaces. Like I think me and you have given each other a safe space for so long to like explore, talk out loud about stuff that was weird. Say like, what is happening here? Why would I do this? What did this, you know, what does this porn mean? Like, why should I be doing that?
Yeah.
Where I don't know if that space exists for a lot of people to explore that. Maybe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. When you meet people who are maybe a bit more reserved or closed off or like haven't seen that opportunity or that experience laid out for them, what do you think is like the first step for that person is then cultivating sisterhood where you can share and talk about those experiences? Or do you
feel like to me always, but also I think you have to want it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Like I think oftentimes I always like backtrack as soon as I start maybe talking to like dirty or horny or with people I don't know. Because I realize that also not everybody has like, I don't also know like what are people's traumas and what have people gone through and what are people's orientations and are they dealing with that? And like, there's so many layers where I feel like people don't always get the space to even like start exploring.
Yeah. Yeah. The cool thing is with you, it's never obnoxious. Like it's never like, well, I think maybe you did that a bit as a teenager, but like, I think as you've like matured, as you said, right?
Matured.
You are able to like give maybe like a lick of that taste of it. And if someone's not receiving it, maybe, or at open to it, then that isn't how the conversation like leads. Like you're just like, okay, we scale it back. We start talking about LinkedIn or whatever, you know, like whatever people want.
Let's just circle back to your, how many people you got on LinkedIn? So you're not coming 5 times a night. What's your LinkedIn count at? There's a huge balance for me because I think obviously my personality is so intense to show up if you're this intense and then you're also talking about pegging, coming 5 times, like sucking on toes.
Yeah.
It can be a lot. Mm-hmm. I especially working through therapy and shit, never want to be like this weird, imposing or obnoxious person. Like I try to do a lot of self work to not get there, but I'm not saying it's not always obnoxious because I don't think you can always talk about pegging in a casual situation where it's, I think there's going to always be someone who's like, that's obnoxious.
Oh, of course. But based on their lived experience and what they know to be true and based on what conversations they've had access to and religion and moral and medical and all those things that are important. So I know obviously you and I are on like one large swing to one side of a pendulum. And then there's a whole variety on every different stage along that swing. The other day when we were chatting, we were talking about sensuality and we were talking about how your best sexual experiences have not even included like penetrative sex. Remember when we were talking about that?
Foreplay, baby. Yeah. The foreplay vibes. If you have like week-long foreplay, yes.
Great. What I love about this is because when I do work with women and we talk about their experience of sexuality and like wanting to enjoy sex or wanting to feel like more in their body or I guess get more out of that experience with a partner or with potential lovers, I think a lot of us forget, especially in heterosexual relationships, that like the penetrative sex isn't the destination that we always need to be running towards. Like, sure, that's totally a fun and dandy thing.
Yeah.
But I loved your shares of like how along that spectrum of sexuality and your sexual expression and sexual activity, that there's like all of these different little yummy milestones or like little, I'm like picturing a Mario Kart game and like picking gold coins, you know what I mean?
Can't wait to get back and play some Switch. Yeah.
Yeah. Of those different experiences. And I don't know what you're comfortable sharing in terms of that, but I think you speaking to the fact that it doesn't have to always look one certain way and how you can really sink into the indulgent experience of intimacy that looks different than maybe what you quote unquote know to be true through what you've learned in movies or porn or through talking to your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I think that I don't know where that realization came from. I think I was just like reflecting back and realizing like when I am going into the spank bank, it's always for foreplay related items.
Yeah.
You know, like so many of my best experiences have also even like, have predating the relationship I'm in now, but like they've been also just sometimes exclusively foreplay things where for whatever reason, you're just like, you meet someone, something happens, you don't fuck, but that stays in your head forever, you know? And I think that kind of energy, when you bring that towards any kind of like, you know, one-on-one intimate or two-on-one, three-on-one intimate situations, you get so much more out of it because you get all of the, not saying that, I mean, I'm a person who also like, I do like that, the penetration part. I am, you know.
Of course.
We're into that here over here, but
sign me up,
sign me up. But the first part can be so fun,
and but not just like hyper focusing on it, you know,
like not hyper focusing. I think a lot of it also like, I mean, sure, we'll share candidly. Like a lot of it's also like exploring other aspects too. Mm-hmm. Like there's been I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that on here.
You know, like what you just said though.
We'll leave it at that. We'll just share that in case we do get this on the loudspeaker in the family room.
No, I get that. And I think the fact of the matter is that women do need so much, in the speaking generally here, obviously there's a spectrum, but generally speaking, women need so much more time warming up, getting juicy, like in sinking out of the head and into the body, right? Because the mental load, because we, the brain is different. We're thinking in multitasking and holding space for so many different things at once. And our emotional ranges can be a bit deeper than the male mind. The mental toll is larger. And so sinking out of the mind and into the body and actually being like, oh, I get to exhale, or like, I get to open up, I get to unfurl in this moment, takes a much longer time. And I don't think that when we're talking about like having five orgasms before bed, like I don't think enough women are giving themselves the spaciousness to be able to really sink into that thing and let go or unwind or
totally
or breathe into it and enjoy it. And I think the couple of things that I think you're really skilled at is one, experiencing experiences like on full volume and allowing yourself to like enjoy each part of it, but then also giving yourself space to experience that range. And then that does play into your obviously intimate sex life with other people, which is so cool. And I love that for you.
Yeah, so much fun. I also think like full, like obviously right now I don't have kids.
Yeah.
I live alone. I'm, you know, away from all my family and friends. So my experience right now, which I also try to channel when I'm at home, like also full disclosure, my pre-bedtime routine is a full 25 minutes. Like, and it's so indulgent. Like it's absolutely ridiculous when I'm like with girls, like on a weekend, they're like, Melissa, how does it take you? Like, why are we, this was 25 minutes for you to get ready for bed. Yeah. I make a tea. There's music. Okay. There's some stretching. We do a shower. There's a lotioning aspect that takes a while. So there's a whole, like, there's a whole 25 minutes at the end of my day that's just for me. And it's any day. Like if there's very few instances, unless I'm crazy, crazy drunk, that I come home and I don't do that. But there's, if it's 3 a.m. and I'm coming home from dancing, the kettle is on. The music is on. We are washing our face. We are stretched. Like, you know, it's like this whole wind down of coming back into my body, coming back into myself, forgetting all the stuff that's making me stressed. And obviously when you come to bed, having that relaxation time, you're going to feel like ready to go.
Yeah.
But so obviously that's such a privilege. Like I live alone. I don't have any kids. I don't have really like a lot of responsibilities outside of myself. So I understand that for so many people, that's not even realistic. So many people listen to that be like, 25, what are you, who are you?
Yeah. Is there one thing that you kind of anchor into if, say, you don't have that amount of time, or, you know, you're traveling and things are fast paced and maybe, you know, like that has been the season for you, is like sharing rooms with other people and that kind of thing. Is there one thing that really does anchor you into yourself that's maybe not as elongated?
25 minutes. Yeah. I can get ready for bed in about 10 minutes and it's my shower. Yeah. Like I have to rinse my body. Yeah, also, it involves me. feel so good. Like I can wash my face outside the shower, but it's so hard because I'm so messy. So I need to wash my face in the shower. So Same. Even if I get ready and it's like 5 minutes, I just quickly rinse my body, wash my face, put on two creams, and then go to bed. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I've been doing like the last little bit, because yeah, I've been really traveling a lot. But if I'm at home, also the peppermint tea. It's so hard to end a day without it. Like I need my tea.
Yeah.
It's a true addiction.
And helps with the belly, right? Too. Like when you're eating the indulgence.
When you're eating your weight in wine. And you've had four bottles of wine. It's really helpful to just have half of a tea before you fall asleep.
Oh my gosh. Do you feel like there's, if you were to give like a little nugget of something or advice to people who want to elongate the experiences that they're having, do you think there's a takeaway or there's something that people can work on that would help them stretch out experiences of pleasure or like get a little more creative or think outside of a penetrative sex box to be able to be like, okay, I see. We could use a feather instead of a finger.
Yeah. So fun. I feel like a lot of it also comes from a nerdy side.
Yeah.
Like when I'm opening up my mind, I think if you're curious about it at all, mm-hmm. I love Dipsy and Triquin, like the audio erotic apps. Mm-hmm. I pay for porn. I love OnlyFans. I've had various subscriptions over the years. I think you've talked about a lot of them on this podcast.
Yeah.
I love to read. I'll go on Reddit. I follow a whole bunch of accounts on Instagram, like yours and other people who are talking about sex inclusivity, sex positivity. Mm-hmm. I follow a lot of sex workers. Mm-hmm. I love stripper TikTok, you know, like there's a whole nerdiness piece of exploring this whole like fun world. Like there's this whole, I always say like, once I kind of started like realizing that there was all this stuff that I didn't even know that was like outside of missionary. And even like I was having, you know, super fun missionary for a really long time. But then there's this whole aspect of this whole like learning world that you can literally just like scroll on your phone.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're like even a little bit excited, I would honestly say the audio erotic apps are so fun and give you, and also like is a fun thing to do by yourself too. They also have a fun like questionnaire that you can do with a partner if you're trying to like get somebody more present with you.
Okay. On what, Dipsy?
On Dipsy, yeah. Or Dipsy, I don't know how you say it, but there's like a, they have like this. I always say like show notes. Yeah, make it in the show notes. I would say like, just like learning, like just like kind of explore and see what feels good, you know? And I am a huge advocate for porn. I love porn. Not Pornhub. Don't go on you porn.
Don't just porn.
Google like I want to watch porn tonight. And again, if you're interested, you know, reach out, we can talk about some specifics, but there's so much good quality like fun stuff that you can watch that gives you ideas like, oh, that seems really interesting or that seems super cool.
You told me about Else Cinema, ELSE, which is Erica like Less, one of her prongs of her business or her online resources. And what I love about that is it's like elongated versions of the spicy movie scenes, like the movie scenes where you're like, oh, this is like turning me on, like I'm loving this, but maybe it's like 4 minutes max, you know, your favorite in The Notebook or whatever. It's the sensuality and like the romance and like the sexiness of that without it being like POV, pound, 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 like spit, you know, like all of the stuff that can be really put people off, you know, especially more sensitive people or people who really like the sensuality and the candles and the romance of intimacy. So if you are looking to just see some visuals of some different ways of experiencing, I definitely have loved that resource. And it's something you do pay for, but worth it.
It's an investment in yourself. There's a video on Erica Lust on her ex confessions, which is where people submit their fantasies and then she makes videos out of them. Mm-hmm. So cool. But there's this one where it's just this woman literally washing her. She has like all these cute lingerie. She's literally like washing it and she's like all soapy. Mm-hmm. And it's like probably like 25 minutes of her just like touching her, like not even touching herself, but just like kind of like rubbing her body, washing her clothes. It's very soapy. I'm like, this is the kind of thing that's going to like, it's so pretty to watch, you know, and helps you relax, helps you feel like, yeah, you can watch this and feel sexy for a minute. Cause I would say nothing on Pornhub is going to make you feel sexy for a minute.
Oh,
it makes you feel scared. It makes you feel overwhelmed. You go on the front page. It's all stepsister. You're like, why?
Inadequate. Yeah.
It's so hard to watch. And it's not, I honestly don't even think like, I think people are like, yeah, it's made for men. I don't even think it's made for men. I don't know who it's made for.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think that men are watching stepsister porn thinking, I'm ready to go. I'm feeling good tonight. You know?
Like, oh, I didn't know about that soapy girl. I love that. And I think it's like sexy ASMR, right? You know, like
totally.
It is gratifying to watch, like even the side of TikTok where it is like watching someone like tidy something or wash dishes or put something away or like that body doubling type of stuff. But then watching it in like a more sensual way, I feel like that's such an activating, beautiful like good,
it helps,
good vibe.
Yeah, helps you also get out of your head, because like you said, it's the mental load at the end of the day that like weighs down your head.
Yeah, and so there's a bunch of different ways to consume it, right? Like if you're more on audio and you want it kind of more discreet, like the app is really discreet, you can just pop your earbuds in. Or if you are more of a visual person and you enjoy those visual aids, like then there's the female created porn that's just beautiful and sexy, and yeah, so many options,
so much fun exploring to do. Yeah,
but there's a plethora of more.
The internet's got some good stuff for you. Also just books too.
Yeah.
Like when I was like when we were teenagers, we started reading erotica.
Yeah.
Like when I was 17 years old, I was like going into chapters being like, do you have this book? Shamelessly.
I love what you said though about nerdifying it, because you are such an academic through and through. And I feel like that is some, like your ability to study and be curious and, kind of peel into the layers of something is one of like your brilliant skills. And like, that's cool. So how cool how your mind works. And I love that you've taken something that you're strong in other areas of your life and applied it to your intimacy and sex.
And it also makes it like a real passion, you know, like it makes it like a real hobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the erotic part of my life is really not even, it's not just the 20 minutes before bed.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm sitting on someone's face. It's like legit.
Foreplay is your life.
It's like, it's your whole life. It's like you're thinking about things that make you excited or happy. It's like, you know, you're planning a trip.
Yeah.
When I'm going to Italy, I'm like looking up cool restaurants and fun wine bars and beaches.
Yeah.
And like before, you know, you go away for a weekend, you're like looking up new ideas and fun, exciting concepts that you haven't tried, or like listening to what other people are doing, or kind of like checking yourself and how you can be better.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a constant bettering. Yeah, just to enjoy life's pleasures, because we're only here for a short time.
I know, you're such an expander for that. I really do feel like you have taught me, especially through my anxiety journey, like how to be more present, and through the way in which you navigate the world. And you've just been such a strong example of that for me. And I feel like that's definitely what I wanted to get across today here for anyone else who's tuning in, is like, you know, life can be lived on at a pace that feels really good to you, obviously given your privileges and what you have access to. But I just wanted to definitely people to be able to hear from you and how incredible you are as a human.
Oh, thanks, Junie. You're just a little bit biased.
Yeah, just a little.
But it's so fun to be on your podcast, and I know everyone loves listening to it so much. So hopefully this wasn't too, I think I was pretty reasonable. We weren't too not safe for work.
I agree. Okay. So I love to ask these three questions to everyone who comes on. My first is your favorite way to cultivate intimacy, either platonically or within your romantic relationship. What's your favorite way?
Conversation, baby. Yeah. I love talking. Like, I love asking, like, if you meet me, the first question I'm going to ask you is not like, what do you do and who are you? It's always going to be like, tell me about like the first time you felt like yourself. You know?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like really like yourself? When do you feel most like yourself? People are like, hi, I'm Ted. Nice to meet you. Accounting.
Yeah, that is so, one of your superpowers.
Conversation always.
Mm-hmm. What is something that's bringing a lot of pleasure into your life right now? I know there's many things, I'm sure, but what is one thing that's feeling like really alive
so
and real?
So many things. I'm really living a very pleasure-based life right now. I would say I've been loving going on walks. Where I'm living right now is so pretty, and I'm only here for 2 more months. So I've just been like going out for various walks during the day and literally just like looking up like a small child in wonder, and not even taking my phone or anything, just being like, oh, this is so pretty. And I just want to like put these little things in my head. So that's my pleasure right now is walks and the pretty city that I'm living in.
Beautiful. And then my last question is your favorite way that you're adding in play to your life right now, like connecting with that inner child, or I know you just gave an example of that by looking like at the trees like a kid, but any other examples of play in your life right now?
I've been dancing so much.
You're such a
so much
dancer.
Fun. Dancing is like the way that I always know that like everything's going to be okay. So, and it's been so good. Just had one of my really good friends' weddings, had some friends here. We were traveling around. So doing dancing. And then I've been really just any chance I get, even I'll do like dance breaks while I'm doing dishes. Like,
yeah,
dancing is the childlike play that comes out so hard.
Yeah. If Melissa's around, music is not too far away. If you're
always
home, there's either she's singing or there's music on the speakers or it's playing from her iPhone. And yeah, I love that about you. The house is so quiet and the cottage is quiet. Melissa's not around.
Which is also insane because I'm not the only one who, like, we're a very loud family.
Yeah.
But it's wild that my noise is ringing so hard because everyone else is like, no one's subtle. No one in the family is like not showing up fully, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Well, thank you so much. I loved this conversation and I'm so grateful that we were able to find a time to do this.
I'm so happy I finally get to be on and I can't wait to see if the numbers compete with Tom. We'll have to check it out.
The race is on.
Race is on. Thanks, Junie.
Thank you. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this podcast and were able to take something away or have something to think about or got a laugh or just enjoyed hanging out here with us today. It was a pleasure to record and thank you for spending the time with us. If you enjoyed it and you want to hear more from Melissa or myself or podcasts like this, it would mean the world to me if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening to this episode. It really helps the podcast reach more people and get the word out there. So if you want, you can leave a review and send me a screenshot and I will enter you for a little prize. I'll be giving away another free Oracle reading at the end of September. So that's it for today. I will be back every other week with an episode for this season and we will see you then. If you know someone who you would love to be interviewed by me or heard here on this podcast, please send them my way. I'm always looking for amazing people to be featured on this show and your support with that would be amazing. So I hope you love this episode. Let me know if you did. Feel free to tag me on Instagram or Melissa as well and let us know your thoughts. We can't wait to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your day and we'll see you soon.